from the Portland Sports Arena. This is Portland Wrestling.
And this is the Portland WrestleCast. I'm Jim Valley. This interview has been in the back of my mind for over a year. It was last summer when I interviewed Larry Oliver, the son of the late Rip Oliver, who we lost over a year ago. And you can go back and listen to part one of that interview in the archives. Rip the Crippler Oliver was, of course, one of the biggest Portland wrestling stars of the 1980s. Larry started in wrestling in 1990. When the Grappler came into Portland in 1987, he and Roddy Piper started to book the territory, and things began to change in Portland wrestling. We saw a lot more sports entertainment, more characters, more storylines, comedy, and angles. Portland was always a very traditional territory. We never saw singing competitions, dance-offs, arm wrestling contests, or pro wrestling weddings. And I gotta say, as I was going over the DVDs of the Larry Oliver era, it was pretty entertaining, and I had to stop myself and remind myself that I was working. Maybe he was a little serious at times, a little silly, I should say, at times, but overall, I enjoyed it. Now, 1990 in wrestling was a big man's era. It was the time of the Ultimate Warrior. Sting, Earthquake, and Hulkamania was running wild. As we've talked about, Portland was never a big man territory. People like Buddy Rose and Jonathan Boyd and others thrived in Portland. A little while ago, I forget where, if it was Facebook or Twitter, Reddit, somewhere on social media, somebody asked what compelled Don Owen to put the Northwest title on Dynamite Kid because of his size. And people often apply modern standards of pro wrestling to situations that just don't fit. And I haven't looked, but I'm willing to bet the Dynamite Kid probably wasn't even the shortest man ever to hold the Pacific Northwest title. It really wasn't a big deal. But in 1990, Portland changed with the times. And if you're looking at size and beef on the hoof, it probably had its biggest roster ever in terms of size in 1990. We're talking Bryan Adams, who was known as Crush in WWE. The Equalizer, who was later known as Dave Sullivan in WCW. Scott Norton started in Portland. And, of course, Billy Jack Haynes, who had just turned heel. Another wrestler, who you may know, made her debut in 1990, TaylorMade Medina. You may know her better as Terry Power or Tori. So we take you back to 1990 and a tournament happening for the vacant Pacific Northwest Heavyweight Championship. And TaylorMade Medina showed up to use her womanly charms on a young Larry Oliver in this segment in the Fiesta Garden with Al Madrill.
What are you doing up here? Hey! Wait a minute, big man. Get out of the way. Come here, boy. Oh, you think you're... Look at that face you got it. Just because you just beat us in a tie, I bet you couldn't beat me by myself, could you?
I don't know.
You don't know? Come over here. Were you scared of me?
No.
You don't know if you can beat me, huh?
No.
So I could beat your butt right now, couldn't I?
I don't know. I think you sound like your dad. I don't know.
Well, Friday night, are you going to be in Eugene?
Yeah.
Good. Who cares? Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to be in Eugene Friday. And there's a big match there, a stretcher match in Eugene. Rip Oliver and that Grappler. So, Rip, we're going to carry your daddy all the way back to the dressing room. You know that? You don't know. That's all you can say is no, huh? That's what kind of man you are. Get over here, boss. Get over here. I don't want you to... Come on, boy. What are you doing up here anyway?
I was told I had an interview.
You what?
I was told I had an interview.
You told you had an interview, and that's why you're here.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have an interview, sir. You don't have an interview at all. Because what I was going to... Oh, get out of the way, boy. Come here, beauty.
Oh,
how are you, honey? That was Cole Medina, baby. Baby.
Ask the guy, why are you so blind? You said funky Cole Medina.
Don't worry about him. This is Rip Oliver's little brat.
I wonder what he'd do with this.
Ow! Do it to him, baby. Do it to him. Do it to him. Show him something, honey. Show him what he's missing. Oh, Lord have mercy. This is a big one. Oh, this hurts me. Do it, dance, baby. Do it. Have you ever seen it? Would you know what to do with it?
I know what to do with it.
Oh, 1990, everybody. Larry Oliver is on the ground in shock by the kiss put on him by Taylor Made Medina. But it turns out she was putting her powers to use for evil as she distracted Don Koss while Billy Jack looks in the hat and intentionally draws Larry Oliver's name in the tournament for the Northwest title.
Our drawing is going to continue with Taylor Made Medina here with a hat with the names in it and, Billy Jack Haynes.
Don't be afraid. You're a grown man.
Well, you're a grown man I used to call my friend.
You got your teeth are coming up. Let me pick who I'm going to be fighting.
Northwest
title, which everybody knows.
Could you excuse me, please?
I am the toughest ever in the Northwest.
Can you just excuse me, please?
You've been awfully mean to me tonight, and I picked out this lovely dress and everything to wear, and you're just so mean to me. And
Taylor, can you excuse me, please? We have a drawing to do. This man's supposed to draw a name out of the hat. Can I get around here, please? Can
I get it,
please?
He got it.
For crying out loud.
Lo and behold, I got Larry Oliver next Saturday night. Read it for your own two eyes.
That says Larry.
And just like your father's in the hospital right now, punk. You little punk. You're in pro wrestling. You're an amateur. I'm going to show you where you belong. Right on your butt, looking up at those lights. And everybody in Oregon, I hate your guts, period.
Finally, a real man. Finally.
All right, Billy Jack Haynes did draw Larry Oliver's name. Larry, next Saturday night, it's Larry Oliver and Billy Jack Haynes in our tournament.
God, what a man he is. Finally making the right decisions in life. He's going to do well.
Saturday night comes, and Billy Jack calls Rip Oliver out in this interview in the Crow's Nest in a segment with our host Don Koss.
Now the center of controversy, a man I used to call my friend, Billy Jack Haynes.
Gosh, I'm heartbroken. You're not my friend. Where were you when I was down 2 years ago? I didn't see you coming around or phoning me. You think I don't care if you're my friend or not? Forget you, Koss. 8 years, man. Oregon all the way around. All 36 counties, I represented you. Brought Hulk Hogan to Oregon. 10,000 people came to the gym. But you know what really bugged me? Why the gym really didn't go? Because all the fat Oregonians tried to pay with food stamps. Because there's not Oregonians here. Each and every one of you. When this place is full, you're out stealing somewhere to get in here. I know what you're doing. It's simple. I seen a guy over here today try to pay with food stamps. That's the way Oregonians are. They're lazy. Well, this is the last time, Oregon. Here, you can have it. You can have it. And I hate your stinking guts. Shut up, okay? Geez. You too. Now listen to me and listen close. Everybody seen last week, your back was turned stupid.
And I told it.
Yeah.
My back was not turned. I was looking right out there, Billy. I saw exactly what happened. Man. Your back was turned.
Your teeth are coming out again. Don't get excited, Cuss. And I pulled Larry Oliver. I guess, I don't know how I did it, but I got him, didn't I? And I got you tonight, Larry Oliver's son. I put Rip Oliver out of here. I seen him up here. I guess he's okay, poor baby. I should have took him out. But you know what really bugs me about Oliver is that he's a logger. You know, these loggers, they say about this spotted owl issue. What a bunch of BS that is. They're using that spotted owl issue where they can sit back, collect unemployment, get their food stamps, live on welfare and the fat of the land. Loggers are the laziest guys in the world.
What they do is just drive. That's all you do is drive. You let all the immigrants come in and do the heavy work with the logs, you lazy punks. So tonight, Oliver, I'm taking your son out. I'm using the full Nelson, and you know I'm the master. You said several times, Peterson demands to be the full Nelson. All over the globe in the WWF, I'm the master. And if you've got any guts now, Oliver, why don't you come out? If you're here in this building. Because in just a few minutes, I'm taking your son out. I don't give a damn about this belt. Everybody knows I'm your baddest.
Take it easy. Just take it easy. Oh, hold it. Hold it. Crap. Crap. No, no.
Take it easy.
Hold it. Calm him down.
Hold it. Up here, Don Charles. He won't speak. Get him up here. What are you?
Hey, take it easy, Rip. We're crying out loud. Get calming down.
Don't come up here calming me down. There ain't no calming me down till I get that Billy Jack right up that head with that Peter.
Hey, hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it.
Hey, Rip. Hey, I know you feel like you either settle down or you're going to be out of this tournament. Out
hey,
of
you don't hey. Tell me about hey. Settling down. I'll tell you about settling down. Oh, that's it. Oh, that's it.
Get him out of here.
Billy Jack Hayes is going down.
Get him out of here. Get him out of here. Out of the building.
No, I can tell you that.
Hey, we can't stand for this up here in this building. I understand how you feel. But I can't take this. And you're out of the tournament and out of the building. Sorry. Either you settle down or you got to go.
Let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here. That's, I think, the only thing you could do.
With Rip out of the building, Larry had to go it alone. And as the match progressed, it turned out that Billy Jack wasn't interested in winning the championship.
And yet Larry Oliver, the son of Rip Oliver, inexperienced rookie, only been professional wrestling for a few weeks now. Oh, man, and Billy Jack Haynes is a tremendous clothesline on Larry Oliver, and Larry is hurting. He's hurting, and his dad is outside the building. They won't let him in because he went berserk up here just a few moments ago. Thanks to Billy Jack Haynes. I don't know. It's Billy Jack. Man, oh, man. Now he's choking Larry over that second rope. You can see just choking him. Get him off of him, Sandy. Get the man off of him. Oh, my gosh, what's going on? All right, he's been disqualified. Billy Jack Haynes has been disqualified. Referee Sandy Barr can't even get him off of him. Get him off it. Oh, no, out go. Oh, my gosh, look at that. Outside, over the top rope. Sandy Barr went over the top rope, and Billy Jack Haynes is in position to put a full Nelson on Larry Oliver. I can't believe this. The referee is injured. He's outside. Nobody there to help Larry Oliver. Billy behind him coming up. I can't believe this. He wouldn't do that. Not to a young man like Larry Oliver. And Billy was right. Billy is the master of the full Nelson. I mean, and right now that full Nelson can do more damage to a young man like that than anything else from any other professional wrestler. And there goes Sandy Barr again. He's down. He crawled back in. And here is this some help? No, I don't think this is help. That's Al Madrill and the equalizer. Now what are they doing? They're trying to... Billy is fighting everybody off. Billy, I'm telling you, Billy has lost it. I tell you, his lighthouse has been destroyed. There's nothing there right now. Larry Oliver just is collapsed over here on that bottom rope. And Al Madrill, equalizer, trying to restrain Billy Jack Haynes. I think they are anyway. I hope they are. At least somebody's. There's bodyguard Ray. He's got that nightstick. He may need more than that, Ray. As Billy Jack Haynes is like a caged animal over there. I don't know. What's going on? The referee has raised. He's raised the arm of Larry Oliver. Larry is the winner by disqualification. Larry will advance in our tournament. He is advancing in our Pacific Northwest Heavyweight Championship Tournament. He's being helped out of the ring by, there's Bill Francis, Ricky Santana, Little Juice, and they're helping him back. And, all right, well, thank goodness no more damage was done.
Larry advanced in the tournament and faced the grappler. He won another match under similar circumstances by disqualification. And that means Larry limped into the finals an injured man, where he met Brian Adams, who was also a heel and Grappler's partner in the Wrecking Crew.
Larry Oliver in there fighting his heart out, and nice, he shoved the big man in the turnbuckle right now. Look at him.
Larry
Look
Oliver
him.
Is fighting with everything he's got. He's fatigued, and he's still putting what he's got into it, and Brian Adams is lolling, waiting for the right opportunity for Larry to make a mistake that he can capitalize on.
I think Larry's going on instinct right now. He just falls. He just collapses into the rope.
Larry Oliver's wrestled, what, seven guys? I mean, you know, he's put his time in tonight. This is all on one night. That's not easy. Brian Adams wrestled, I think, three.
Oh, wait a minute. Adams just threw Larry Oliver right into the referee, and now he's got that kendo stick. Hey, come on, what is this? This is a championship match, Jonathan.
It must be trick photography. Don't listen to what Mr. Cost is saying, ladies and gentlemen. It's trick photography.
Watch it with your own eyes. Look at that. Brian Adams has got Larry pinned, and there's nobody there to count. But he took him, it took a kendo stick.
It was a savate kick. What are you talking about?
It took a kendo stick from a man the size of Brian Adams. I can't believe this. I can't.
You've got to look at
him. No, you're not going to count him out. Come on, for crying out loud.
We've got a new champion, Big Brian Adams. Congratulations.
I can't believe
I'm going to be at the party tonight, boy. He's going to tear apart Oregon. He's going to beat the town pink. I just can't wait.
I can't believe this would be allowed to happen.
He's one of my best friends.
Oh, yeah, but he is now. Brian Adams has been awarded the title, the belt. Oh, wait a minute. Larry Oliver's getting that kendo stick. He knows what happened.
He's got a kendo stick.
He said, hey, look, the man used this stick on me. And you've just made him champion?
These people are lying through their teeth, and I hope Sandy Barr doesn't listen to them.
I'll tell you, this packed house right now, they're on their feet. They're yelling, they're hollering, they're trying to... All right!
Well, that's illegal!
You better believe it!
That's illegal!
He's fighting fire with fire. That's what he's doing. Kendo stick with kendo stick.
He's fighting for the food stamps of Portland, and this is illegal.
Wait a minute. Here comes Billy Jack Haynes. Oh, come on. Get him out of there. Get him out of there. Billy Jack Haynes with a stick. Look at this. Hard smash.
Oh, pandemonium is broken loose. The real hero of the Pacific Northwest is in the ring right now. Billy Jack.
Look at this. Look at Billy. He's attacking the referee with that kendo stick. And now... Oh, man, look, he's cutting him. He's cutting him with that stick.
I love it. I love it. That's with Billy Jack. He wants to throw some of these food stamp donors out of here. All right, Billy Jack.
Billy Jack Haynes. And hold it. Hold it. Holy mackerel. Rip Oliver is back in the building. Rip Oliver coming to the aid of his fallen son. And look at the fire in his eyes. Look at this, Billy Jack Haynes.
Oh, get him, Billy Jack, get him!
Beating on Larry Oliver and Rip Oliver breaking loose.
Get him again!
Jonathan Holliday on commentary with Don Koss. Now, things got heated later when Larry had his own interview segment.
Larry, I think something has really snapped in Billy.
Yeah, I really did too. I'd like to apologize to all the people, and I'd like to say thank you again before I was rudely interrupted by Billy Jack. I'd like to say another thing, that I've been around the sport since I was little. I didn't really think I'd be this hard when I came in, but it's really tougher than I thought. But I'm starting to come along a little bit better and better every week, thanks to the support of the fans and everyone else, you know, and I'd like to thank everyone.
Well, Larry, you grew up in a wrestling family. You come from tremendous wrestling stock, that's for sure. And I'm sure that your dad, Rip, has told you a lot about Billy Jack Haynes.
He taught me a lot. I know he's strong. I know he's big. But I think I can work with him. I think I can wrestle him. I think I can take him if I really put my heart to it. I've been working out every day.
Oh, wait a minute. Hey, listen, man. I told you before that this is Billy Jack's time now. You're a quitter like your old man. I'll look you right in the eye and tell you you're a punk out of Oregon Hitty City High School. So you were a great football player and amateur wrestler. You're in the pros now. And you want to get into what likes of Billy Jack Haynes? You give me a break, little man. And don't even think you're going to push me. Because I got word for you, man. Your dad's a quitter. I kick his butt everywhere. You're a quitter. And I know how to get to your dad. Where's your old lady? Huh? Where's your old lady? You got to move.
Oh, all right. All right. Take it easy.
Yeah, he's got a fat old lady. Looks like your guardian's a welfare-ite.
Holy mackerel.
Larry. Let's get security up here. Let's get Larry Oliver attacking Billy. Come on, Beck. Hey, wait a minute. You got a surprise coming, little man. Shut up! You got a surprise coming. You know what? You listen and listen real close. Get up here. Oliver, Rip Oliver Sr., I know how to get to your goat. See the stitches, his guards. We then battle ourselves all over the globe. You got a little man, a little boy. I know you love Barry dearly. Well, I'm going to get on to sign since he wants to go with the big boys to an I Quit match. To an I Quit match. Next Saturday night, I'll take your little punk son. And what it means is you've got to say I quit. I've never quit for nobody. Nobody in pro wrestling. And Oliver, son, next Saturday night, I'm getting the contract signed. I'm going to rub your face in the mat. I'm going to go to break your arm. Just before it breaks, I'll ease up until I put you out of pro wrestling. For good, for good. Rip Oliver, I'm taking your son, and I'm going to break him in two. He's going to say, I quit, just like all your other damn Oregonians.
A few minutes later, Billy Jack gives this particularly unhinged interview.
Listen! Shut up, everybody! Oliver! You and me been down the turnpike, and you told me 3 months ago how much you love your son, how much your son means to you. He wanted to be a professional wrestler, huh? He wanted to be a pro wrestler, the amateur punk. Now he's stepping in the ring with me, Billy Jack, and I heard that the match is already signed by Don Owens because he can't do nothing about it because he's a pro wrestler now. Right? I am going to make you say, I quit. I quit. I don't want to be a pro no more. Daddy. Daddy, I don't want to be a pro no more. I want to be an amateur. I know how to get to you, Oliver. And next Saturday night, in an I Quit match, I quit. I'm going to break you in two, little man. And I'm going to show you what the pros are all about. What stitches and knock teeth are down the throat are all about. Yeah, I have flipped a little bit. Because I'm sick and tired of Oregon, period. And you're from Oregon, aren't you, Oliver? And your little bitty son. Next week, he's going to say, I quit. What's in for? Oh!
With him.
Larry Oliver attacked Billy with a few folding chair shots. Now the next Saturday night comes, and it's I Quit with Larry Oliver and Billy Jack Haynes. And Billy Jack is dominating the second generation wrestler.
Look at this. Most professional wrestlers right now, Jonathan Holliday, would be quitting. They'd be getting out of there. That's a vicious Boston
crab. I would have been out of that move by now because I'm a great wrestler, but Larry Oliver's not as good as... He's a great wrestler, he's not me.
Look at this. Billy Jack Haynes is using the rope for leverage. He's holding the rope.
How can you tell if he's holding the rope?
Well, you can see, for crying out. Open your eyes.
Right where you are, and I don't see anything.
Well, open your eyes, and you'll see it. He's using the rope for leverage on that Boston crab, and that kid, Larry Oliver, I'll tell you, the spirit and the heart in this kid, he's not giving up. He's not giving up.
Ooh. Ooh.
Oh, man.
That concentrates on the quadricep and the kneecap. And I'll tell you what, you can get the patella tendon taken right out.
These people are on their feet.
They gotta sit down. They're getting on my nerves. They should shut their mouth and mind their business.
Wait a minute. Here comes Rip Oliver. Rip Oliver approaching the ring on his crutches.
That's the dumbest thing he could do. He's hurt already. He should go back in the back and let his son learn his lesson the way Billy Jack is going to teach him. Billy Jack has said it time and time again. Larry Oliver, you haven't paid your dues, punk. Well, let him pay his dues. Was Larry there to help Rip when Rip was laid out many a time? I don't think so.
Is he going to go for that Boston crab again? He's going to go for the rope, too. He's got Larry Oliver's left leg and knee. And now he's using the ropes again. This is why Rip Oliver's out there. He's trying to keep this thing honest, trying to keep it fair. Oh, Billy slapped him across the face. And you see, Rip is trying to tell the referee, hey, Billy's grabbing the ropes. He's hanging on the ropes.
He's not hanging on the ropes. He's right in the middle of the ring. If this is an amateur match.
What's he doing now? What is that? He's got a hold of his foot.
I'm in the same place, sure. I don't see anything. You're using trick photography on these people. I know.
Oh, yeah, right. Boy, I tell you, this crowd is going absolutely. These people are on their feet. They're yelling. They're shouting.
Right now.
And referee Sandy Barr is warning Billy Jack.
Ask him. He's going to quit like all you other Oregonians.
Billy Jack Haynes. He's going to ask. There's the referee. He's got the microphone down there. And Larry Oliver is in tremendous pain. And Rip Oliver couldn't take it anymore. He jabbed Billy Jack with that crutch of his. And, oh, man.
That's
come on, the man is hurt. He's injured.
Well, he stuck his nose in the bin in his business where
he was just
belongs.
Trying. A full Nelson. Billy Jack Haynes with a full Nelson on Rip Oliver. Rip was just trying to keep this thing fair, Jonathan.
I hope they make crutches for next because Rip Oliver's going to need one.
And now Rip is really, really paying the... Oh, here comes Bill Francis.
I hope Barry Owens got the guts to come out here.
And Billy is fighting everybody. We need more help in here.
Oh, he's nailing everybody. What punch is out?
The man is just... He's maniacal. All right. We got more help. There's both Beetlejuices. There's Curtis Thompson.
Look, 10 guys on one against Billy Jack. And the only reason he got out is because he didn't want to hurt anybody else like Barry Owens.
Oh, Billy Jack Haynes attacked Rip Oliver. I don't even know how Larry's doing. We got to get out of here.
It's not fair. 10 on
we'll,
one.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Let's get out of here.
In the past few weeks, we've seen Billy Jack attack Rip Oliver, Larry Oliver, Don Owen, Barry Owen, and Don Koss.
Barry, I've got to say something. This is not my place, I know, but I have never in my life seen anything like this. This just beats all I've ever seen. Barry, Billy Jack Haynes, I don't know, something has snapped inside this man. He's a danger to everyone right now. And when he starts hitting the promoter and injuring you, Barry, the man has to be not just fined, he's got to be suspended. Barry, you got to suspend this guy and get him out of here and get him completely out of the Northwest.
Hey, Don, I agree. I've never had anybody hit me like that anytime, anywhere. I agree. That man should be suspended, fined, everything, and out of Oregon. No, I'm not going to do that. Rip Oliver, I'm not going to do that. And to these people, I'm not going to cheat them to suspend a man and throw him out. No way. Billy Jack. Hey, I'm going to give all these people what they want for what you did to me. Rip Oliver, I'm going to give you what you want. 2 weeks from tonight, Billy Jack, you listen up. 2 weeks from tonight, I'm going to put you, the thing that most that you don't want, Billy Jack, I'm going to give you this man right here, Rip Oliver, right here in the sports arena, one-on-one.
You give it to me 2 weeks from tonight?
2 weeks from tonight.
Well, I got news for everybody in the Northwest. Billy Jack Haynes, you've done it too many times, boy. I always seen this side of you. A lot of people didn't. But what you did to Barry Owens, what you did to his dad out here last week, what you tried to do to my son, that's all history, boy. What you got to worry about now is Rip the Crippler Oliver, because I'm coming back 2 weeks from tonight right here. No holds barred, Billy Jack. This leg in 2 weeks is going to be damn well ready, 110%. I get the stitches out Tuesday. And I'm coming after you, and I'll guarantee you one thing. For all the stuff you told about the people being on welfare, all the loggers laying up lazy, slapping promoters, grabbing Don Koss up here, well, grab a hold of this 260 pounds, you big badass, and see where you go with that, because you will go down, and I can guarantee you that.
All right, Barry, that's 2 weeks. 2 weeks from tonight. No holds barred. If you're not going to suspend him, Rip will suspend him.
We won't worry about no suspension. I'll guarantee you Billy Jack Haynes will be toted out of that ring. Billy Jack, you can take that to bank, boy, if you know what a bank is.
All right, 2 weeks from tonight. We'll be right back with more after this timeout.
Rip Oliver and Billy Jack Haynes feuded basically when Billy debuted in Portland in 1982 and continued throughout the 1980s in the Northwest, Florida, Texas, and even the WWF. Here we are in 1990, only this time the dynamic is different. To keep it fresh, Billy Jack is the bitter, psychotic, angry, former hometown hero, now facing babyface Rip Oliver, dressed in a flannel shirt, heavy work jeans, suspenders, and a trucker hat, representing the everyman in the timber industry who is facing the economic changes brought on by years of logging and the environmental challenges represented by the spotted owl. And these are sore spots still felt all of these years later. Larry Oliver helped lay the groundwork for the next chapter of his dad and Billy Jack Haynes. In this interview, we don't talk about much about what happened on television, but it is a fascinating look into what it was like growing up in the wrestling business. So after a year, I give you part two of my interview with Larry Oliver. But first, as always, a very special word from our sponsors.
Line drive, base hit, Murray coming around third.
Throw the puppy out.
What an animal.
And he's out.
Out?
Who's out?
What?
We are.
Out of what?
Of beer.
Oh, it's nice.
Don't run out of beer. Come into an AM-PM mini market and stock up on hams. The suitcase of 24 cans is just $5.99.
Rex, yo, where's the beer? Go to AM-PM and pick some up, would you?
Go for a walk?
And bring in the paper.
Stock up for less at AM-PM.
Terrorism grips the world. Unexplained disasters occur. No sane person would ever connect these events. That's what they're counting on. There are no accidents. This is war. War of the Worlds.
Every Sunday night at 8 on KPTV 12.
Taco Bell would like you to meet the stars of the WWF when the Ultimate Warrior and Rowdy Roddy Piper return to the Portland Memorial Coliseum Wednesday night, January 24th. Just pick up your free entry blank tray liner at participating Taco Bell restaurants. You could meet WWF superstars at a private reception and win tickets to see the Ultimate Warrior, Rowdy Roddy Piper, and the superstars of the WWF live in action at the Memorial Coliseum. Compliments of Taco Bell.
You never know what you'll find at Sandy Bar's Flea Mart, open from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. every Saturday and Sunday at the Sports Arena, 8725 North Chautauqua. Two big buildings filled with jewelry, toys, tools, children's clothes, glassware, new items, old items, and good food. Come on out and see for yourself every Saturday and Sunday at the Sports Arena. It's Sandy Bar's Flea Mart. Take I-5 to the Lombard West exit, go 9 traffic lights, turn right, and it's just 4 more blocks.
So when did your dad decide to become Logger Rip Oliver as opposed to just Rip Oliver the Crippler we'd known for so long?
Oh, he was done wrestling. My dad owned log trucks. Him and my uncle, they bought beautiful log trucks and worked it until my dad had his heart attacks, and otherwise he'd still be doing it probably.
As everything was going on with wrestling, it goes national, the territories dry up, more and more people go work for WWE. Did your dad ever talk about what's going on with the business and what it meant for his future, maybe?
Oh, he knew it. That's why he wanted to try. Here to try. They were buying it up. When I broke in 90, my dad said, I need you to go. He called this friend Sakurada in Japan, and he's dead now too, you know, so we're going to send you over here to Japan, just like they did for Brian and all those guys from Japan, brought them over here. The Black Ninja or whatever it was, the Super Ninja. There was a guy that was like real big, but skinny, that Japan wanted him brought over here to beef up and learn the business. you know, other than what he knew already. They know Super Nick.
Yeah.
And so they were, they wanted me to go there, but I was a 20-year-old American. I wasn't going over there and being some jabron for some to deal with, you know, the more respect stuff. They are very, you had to go through their training and they worked the shit out of you. I just wasn't, that wasn't my gig yet. I didn't want it that bad, I guess.
Did you always want to be a wrestler?
Yeah, I did. And like I said, Sakurada came to, when we lived down here after we left Portland or the first time, and wanted to take me to Japan, and I still wouldn't go, you know? I don't know. I just wasn't really interested in going to some foreign country to do something that, you know, I see people starving over here to do. And live in dormitories, and I mean, they really do that shit there.
Right. No, it's a different society and a different culture, to be sure. Given who you are and you're growing up around the business and kind of probably knowing a lot more and experienced a lot more than people your age typically do when they start, you know, were you stretched or did you have just a fairly standard training as far as getting into wrestling?
No, they called me the crowbar because I'd stretch them. There's not too many of them out there that would beat me. I gave respect. Me and Brad Anderson had great matches. We both second generations and did our things. And when it came to the grappler, you know, I was a little stiff for them. Al Madrill and Ed Moretti, my first match ever. Ed Moretti's great. And the young man is dead now. He's not young now because I'm 50, but up in, oh, what's his name? He trained in up in Seattle. He trained people. Buddy Wayne.
Buddy Wayne, yeah.
Great. They both go, they work WWE shows all the time, putting people over, making them look great because they were so good. Great journeyman in the business. And Al Madrill, world champion, beat Jack Briscoe. And that's who I get to start with. But by the time I got Al Madrill, he was, oh, slow down, kid. But to work with some of the greatest that I've worked with, I mean, I worked with all of them. All the Portland wrestlers you've seen, I worked with, and total respect for all of them. And
that's the thing.
There wouldn't be no stretching there.
when you broke in, I felt that it was really kind of the last great moments of Portland wrestling. You had your dad, you had Billy Jack, you had Brian Adams, you had Nord the Barbarian sometimes, the Equalizer, the Harris Brothers, the Grappler, the Southern Rockers, Bart Sawyer, Buddy Rose from time to time. You had a lot of size, a lot of names, and I thought for wrestling fans, a lot of marketable and, how do you say it, cosmetically appealing wrestlers, yeah, on the card. And I thought it was, and they had some very compelling booking. Can we talk about, when did you find out that they were going to turn Billy Jack heel? Because you were kind of the catalyst to that whole thing.
I was the piece to it all. They brought my dad in. I was just the one, the beaten kid, the young kid getting beat to get the crippler back in the ring. I was the one to make the mistake with Billy Jack to get him to turn heel and turn on everybody. That's all they ever seen me as. That's why I didn't. I'm not wrestling. That's why I'm 50 years old and doing great financially and everything else, because I wasn't gonna leave there and be a sucker and go starve to death like some of these guys did and are. You know, I got great friends. Bart Sawyer, he's in a nursing home. I got Doug Masters. He's doing podcasts. I mean, those guys I wrestled with there that were good workers, but they weren't going nowhere. Wrestling was done. Only wrestling there is now is the ones you see on TV now. And I, like I said, I watch Ring of Honor. I don't watch all these other ones. I watch Ring of Honor.
So, and when did, what was the, what, how did you find out about how that whole angle was going to go down?
Oh, and they decide that's what it's going to be. They tell me what to do. Just like Piper come in, you're going to let this girl kiss you. Act like it's the first kiss you ever had, you know? That's, I was young. I was 20 years old. Had everything I needed and enjoyed life. I wrestled probably 5 nights a week. And I had no worries in the world.
What was it like
when
for
it came
you?
Down?
Oh, sure. Sorry.
Go ahead. But when it came down to, once I had my kids and I came back and Piper was in the, we did some high school somewhere with, they started bringing Portland Wrestling back with another promoter. I don't remember who it was. It only lasted a couple weeks. And Piper came in and gave Don and Barry an award, and he couldn't be on TV, but he was part of it. And the Grappler and all them were there. And I mean, I had kids in. They weren't going to embarrass me with no petty bull crap because I beat half of them up. You know what I mean? These wrestlers, all the ones that, Scott Norton, that dude scare you.
Yeah, he's a big guy. Yeah, he was another one that was there toward the end.
Yeah, no, I trained with him. Him and Jeff Warren, we trained every day together. You know, and great guy, just different. You know, Minnesota. He was friends with the Road Warriors and the Steiners and talked their crazy stuff. And he made it. You know, he made it. He made big in Japan. You know, he's probably a multimillionaire now. And more power to him. Great job. But I feel bad for the Steve Dolls and the Rex Kings and the Art Bars right there. Look at Art Bar.
Yeah.
Right there. Him and Eddie Guerrero were going from Mexico to be superstars. I think it was WCW first. And then, you know, Eddie, you see what Eddie did in WWE.
Yeah.
But that was because him and Art were tag team together and they were the American Love Machines, and Art was great. You know, he was small, but Eddie wasn't much bigger. When they did it.
When
charisma.
When
Billy, I didn't have that.
When your dad and Billy Jack had been feuding for like a decade practically, and they turn Billy Jack heel and it creates this new dynamic, did that help business? Did that freshen things up?
Oh, that was the greatest thing in the world for me. I always wanted to be heel. I didn't want to be a baby face. I wrestled Go from Japan, the promoter that Sandy booked all his boys over to, who was a jabroni back in 78, 79. And he finally got his own business going. And he came over and I wrestled Go and put him over. But I out-heeled him and he loved it because he's a baby face in Japan. So, you know, I always wanted to be a heel. And that was a great... I'm just so sad that it was the last, you know, few weeks of my wrestling career. I came back and wrestled for Sandy, but Sandy made me be a babyface again. So, and that's when I wrestled Go and Jesse and all those guys. Jesse Barr's a great guy.
Yeah.
Wish him nothing but the best. His dad was awesome. His brothers are awesome. I got stories for Sandy Barr. For a year out, I mean, I got hours of video or of tape for you for Sandy Barr.
Okay, look,
I've heard these stories by all the boys talking about Sandy flying to BC, taking all the boys up to British Columbia in his plane. And if you want it, it's up to you.
I can call you and we can do this as long as you want. This stuff is fascinating. We've waited a long time to do this, and
I just want it known that my dad, Rip the Cripple Oliver, loved his fans to love, hate him. He loved them. And my dad respected the business and respected every worker he ever stepped in a ring with. My dad, I don't think to this day, my dad's got any people he's hurt.
When did he decide to call it quits?
I think he was done after the Ultimate Warrior deal. Because, you know, he knew he was done. He wasn't going to. We did the Billy's thing, he didn't think he could, you know, he went with it because he was already gave Lynn all the power he needed for Portland. And he wouldn't bow down and go tell Don, I want my job back. And I think that was pretty close. I mean, he wanted to, he loved his logging. He loved his, but it's just hard to get that wrestling business out of your mind and your society. But the loggers gave it to him. They all loved him, respected him. My dad made more money logging than probably wrestling. But I don't know. It's wrestling's a crazy world. It's great too. I mean, me and my brother's been looked into more stuff now that my dad's dead than he's ever did his whole life. You know, they had that show in Portland with all the belts, and my niece and nephew and my sister-in-law went and got all the pictures and stuff, and it was just some exhibit somebody did that was temporary. And my dad was dying, my brother was here with me, and it's great. I mean, my brother did the Canby carry out service t-shirts for their football team, or their base, I think it was a football team, and people knew it. This last year, people still knew it.
Let's talk about that. One of the famous things in Portland was Rip Oliver's carryout service, because he was the crippler, and he had this stretcher that he would put people on. Where did that come from? Do you know?
No, that's before. I was still in school by then, but it was, I think the Wades have it now. One of the Wade brothers have it, or I don't know if they're brothers or whatever, but Wade has it. And
it was a big deal.
Yo, it was great. A big deal. Yeah, everybody knew about it. I mean, but everybody wanted to donate it to the family and all this. I'm like, no, that's somebody found it and they got it. God bless them. It's theirs. Because I got my dad's wrestling gear. I got his robes. I got his, the mask is the only thing I don't know if I got. And there's one picture I won. If anybody out there has got it, it's with him and Andre in Japan. My dad was Gestapo. It hung in our living room for years. But Owens is, he hadn't seen it. So as soon as I find it, it'll be on the world, because it'll be on Andre's page.
I know people in Japan. Let me see if I can ask around, see what I can do. Promise anything, but I'll try.
It's when Jackie and Andre and Frenchie were all there last time my dad was with them with Gestapo. I got the Chris sent me the pictures of them in the hotel room together and out drinking together, but not the ring picture that I'm looking for. You know, I had the 12x16, I think it is, and or my dad did, but somebody got to it before I could lock his house up.
When you think of your dad's career, what are your favorite moments?
Oh, Texas Stadium was that was incredible. Have you seen that video?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That was a peak, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, my dad did Battle of the Belts here in Florida.
The first Battle of the Belts.
And those were the days. I mean, these guys were, they didn't, certain guys got paid, but the other guys made good money. My dad was good money by then, but Japan was always the biggest paydays. My dad did that twice a year. And Trinidad, and when they were in Texas, they went to Israel. Now it's some scary times. They were locked inside the hotel rooms with guns outside, you know, guards outside with guns. They couldn't move. All they were there to do was wrestle and get out. So, but Puerto Rico, they'd throw bricks off the stadiums on the doors as they're walking out to get to their vehicles. I mean, it was some crazy stuff. When they hated people back then, if you mess with their baby faces. In Portland too. Portland was crazy. Hell, my dad had to have a permit to carry a gun in Portland. I mean, he had my burgundy Cadillac, my 1977 Cadillac was my first car my dad gave me. A Buddha Dean gave me a car first, a 1970 Cutlass, but that thing had four different size tires on it. So my dad gave me his Cadillac, so until I got the 1970 Cutlass redone. And
so
had
people,
great times.
It was a different time. Why don't you explain this to people? Why did your dad feel like he needed to carry a gun?
Oh, they slash his tires and all. Oh, they hated him. My dad had real heat. He got Doberman pinchers, 180 pound Doberman pinchers, just to keep them away from the houses. And that's no shoot. That's legit.
So fans came up to the house. Do you have any memories of any interactions with fans like that?
No, they did it when he wasn't there. They tried to break in, and our dogs had to deal with them. And the assassin, Dave, lived behind us. So, that was in Vancouver. Hell, that was seventh grade. It was bad then. Hell, he didn't come home half the time. He just stayed at the bomber.
The bomber. Do you have any memories of the bomber?
By the time I was old enough, no, but I have memories. I can tell you memories. I can tell you stories. They all lived there. Hell, my dad had his own room. He never stayed. He stayed there sometimes, but that's just because he didn't want to drive home. But all the boys, that place was like a drive-through. Art Lacey, that great man, he had a 1972, I think, Cutlass Supreme convertible. And that man, he loved it. He'd keep that place the front yard. He'd have his gardens growing for his restaurants and stuff. And the wrestlers all lived in the whole place. The bomber is historical, just like Acropolis. I know it's closed down now, I hear, but the wrestlers, Acropolis, and the bomber. If that ain't Portland wrestling, I don't know what to tell you.
I think you're the first person who's ever brought up Acropolis. I didn't realize it was a big deal back then. I knew it was later. It's a gentleman's club, a strip club, whatever you call it.
Yeah, it was a full nude strip club with the best food you'll ever eat.
Right. The owner had like a ranch or something. That's why they're famous for $5 steaks. And I think they're $7 now. And I kid you not, the Acropolis has a salad bar. A strip club with a salad bar.
Yeah, he passed away and his wife has it. They're the Greeks. They're all...
Yeah, just recently.
I worked with Saki, who owned Copper Penny. Ever since me and him, his son, were both 20 years old. And I used to bodyguard him, me and CW. And they're all family. They're all Greek family, somewhere related, or at least with the church. And when I was 19 or 18, my dad took me to one place, and one of the wrestlers' wives was working there, and she gave me fake ID. And then we went to Jimmy's, which is Acropolis. That's the owner, Bobby, I think it was. Bobby. And he said, "Rip, is this your son?" And he said, "Yeah." He goes, "Okay, as long as he's your son." And he let me go. And when I was 20, almost a month before I was 21, I got thrown out of there because a wrestling fan said I was underage and he was scared. And told me, "You call your dad right now." It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. "And I'll let you stay." I said, "Bobby, I ain't calling my dad this time of night. My dad was logging and he would have killed me." So I went and had fun and came back and picked up Steve Dahl and CW later. It was like, but the Acropolis is a big part of wrestling. We were there with Brian Adams and Norton, Scott Norton, and some fans were, I don't know how dumb they were. I mean, I'm pretty tough, but those guys you don't go get drunk and be stupid with. And I watched them all get their ass beat. You know, the cattle company was a big thing back in their day, my dad's day. And Clackamas Community Wrestlers, they thought they could take the Grappler and Brian Adams. And there was somebody else there. And they might have got some licks in, but they didn't. They ended up getting their butts kicked. And Clackamas Community College had the national championships then. So my friends, that's where I went to school for wrestling.
So you guys lived in Clackamas growing up?
Oregon City.
Oregon City.
Yeah. Yeah. Younger. I went to Oregon City High School and graduated. My brother graduated there. His kids are in Canby now, so they're going to Canby High. But Oregon City's where our friends that we grew up our high school years in.
What about this one thing? It was so great when Rich and I recorded the show, and Rich was talking about the things that he had gotten from Buddy's widow, and we talked about ice skates that. It was your dad and Buddy was from Minnesota and skated, but I think it was your brother who mentioned on a Facebook message board that Buddy was skating with your dad and I think Dave Sierra, the assassin, Top Gun, and tell us about your dad's experience. He had experience skating.
Oh, my dad owned, his family owned a portable skating ring his whole life. My dad can skate forward, backwards, on anything. He can ski, skate, you name it. That was his first time on blades. But Buddy is the same way. Buddy can do all that. Buddy was so athletic. They did that. Yeah, I don't know about Dave. I don't know how athletic he was on them. But my dad can do anything on blade skates.
Yeah, well, and Buddy grew up in Minnesota, so it's likely he's going to be a good skater. Did your dad kind of kayfabe Buddy at first, or was there a surprise when your dad put on the skates and he didn't suck?
Oh, no, I'm sure they knew it. My dad wouldn't have done something he sucked. My dad was a natural. He had wheels, but the blade ain't much different. So for him, I had problems with it, but my dad never. He can do it all. That's like I said, he had me when he was 17. He already had his parents' skating ring. They'd move it from county to county, like every month they move it. And the biggest mistake of my dad's life is picking that over our multi-million-dollar fish company they had. That's how bad he wanted to go wrestle.
What captured your dad's imagination? When did he decide he wanted to be a wrestler?
Oh, he grew up with Sold Out Gorky, the one who trained him. Don Wolfman Smith, he was Sold Out Gorky in Portland. He had a bar up in Portland. He had a bar here, Holiday Inn, all the wrestlers went to. That's who trained him. He grew up with his family, his sons and daughters, and that was just, I don't know, just something he wanted to do.
Did he go to the matches, like at the Armory in Florida?
Oh, no, he probably just trained. Wolfman was a good, I mean, he was back in the 50s.
Yeah.
And he didn't, my dad trained with Hiro Matsuda, too. And I just met his daughter after all these years that with my dad. And what a great trainer he was. But he'd stretch the shit out of you, too. That's who trained Lex Luger.
Yeah.
But Lex Luger was, he thought he was, I was at Lex Luger's first match in Florida in ninth grade. And he thought he was so stiff and he couldn't move. If you see those guys you like make fun of at the gym, that they stand out with their arms sideways, that was Lex Luger. And until he hit bottom after he went to prison and all that, I don't think he had a clue about life. Because he thought his head was too big. But, and he wasn't that great of a worker, in my opinion.
Were you around when the infamous Luger-Bruiser-Brody match happened?
No, I was in Portland by then, and Portland had everybody. You didn't watch any other stuff.
No, you're right. You're right. Talk about that. I guess we haven't talked about that. The power of Portland wrestling television. How big of a deal was it? I mean, for you to experience and your dad to experience.
When Dutch Savage still had Washington, there was double tapes on Saturday.
Yep.
And Patterson knows all this.
Yeah, no, I lived in Centralia, so I got both tapes. I got both television, Seattle and Portland.
Yeah, but I think didn't Rich work for KP12?
He did. He was radio. He was KEX and Z100.
Okay, so there was somebody. There was another guy that was there that Rich knows too. That's where he got all the tapes from. But they had double tapes in Seattle. That was for Seattle for Dutch. Because Dutch Savage, that was his promotion. Don Owens had Oregon, and his brother Elton had Eugene and Salem, and all that until, you know, Elton was he was the character. I met that man when I was real young, and what an experience that is. Him and his wife Betty. But
you have any Elton Owens stories?
Oh man, that man and his wife. I don't want to be disrespectful, but it's just funny to me because that's where I grew up with them. But I think they were pretty much drunks by the time I was around. And his wife sat ringside, and she was just a big fan, I think. And Elton would be in the back. The way they talked about him was like it was the old, I think it was a Salem theater or something. That's where I met him. And it was... I can't be disrespectful. I mean, they're dead, and they were great people, and they were, but they were. I think they were drunks.
I've done a lot of interviews, and people always bring up Elton Owen and that he was very frugal, and also a lot of times his shows, the cards, the matches he put on, didn't always reflect what was happening on television. Was your dad ever frustrated by working with Elton in Salem?
Yeah, Elton, like I said, I think the boys really liked Elton, but they had to deal with his wife at ringside. but they were usually intoxicated.
It's
the old expression with the red face, and they push you push your nose down, and they talk. That's the way Elton and his wife talked. They were usually juiced up. Now, Barry Owens, what a great guy. I mean, he was young. My dad took him under his wing and tried to, you know, had to do what Don wanted and make his son a promoter. And I got stories there, but I won't go there because that's personal, and I wouldn't want to do that to Barry. Barry was a good guy. Barry was. Now his other brother that ran the bar, that guy I don't have no stories on, but I'm sure he's got some too. But the Owens were great to the Olivers. And I hope they're all in heaven doing great. And I hope Barry and his family are doing good. And I know the Barr family, they're wonderful people. And I wish Jesse and Sean all the best. I think there's another daughter, but I don't remember her. I don't remember her.
Larry, can we do this again?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, give me some questions where I'm not just rambling on you.
We'll do that. You know, we've never spoken. We've messaged each other, and I appreciate your time so much. This interview has been so much about family and relationships, and I think that these are experiences that you have communicated that are unlike things that get shared a lot in wrestling or interviews or anything. And I think people are going to get a lot out of this and have a whole new perspective on things. So I would love to do this again if we can, anytime. I'm going to follow up. Let's wrap up here very quickly because I don't want to take up more of your time, but I could talk to you for days. What do you want people to know about your dad and remember your dad for?
Oh, man. That his love for wrestling and life itself was just incredible. And the wrestling business was his life. And in his later days, it was, Rich sent him all his photos, all the videos he lost over years, and that meant a lot. And him and Billy were together all the way up to the end. And there's friendships you find that even as a son don't realize it, you know, but Billy's still with my family now. So it's a dream. If you can make it real, you know, and they tried, they made a lot of people's memories great, but they never made theirs great. I mean, Billy did, but my dad, he had more he wanted, but Billy lost more than he gained, I think, and he gained a lot. But I see a lot of people talking crap about him on Facebook, and there's ups and downs in life, and I think Billy's on his upside, at peace with whatever he made and lost. My dad's always been on the upside, and he's at peace with the Lord, and he loved wrestling. He loved Portland wrestling, and all the friends he helped, that any of them that screwed him over, just know he wasn't dumb and knew it. But he's got ones out there that he asked about on the day he died, and they know who they are. So you guys have, Jim, you have a great day.
Yeah.
And you message me if you want to do something. If you got some questions and you want to send them to me, maybe I can do some research and make sure I'm right.
Sure. Let me ask you one. You keep triggering all of these things. What did your dad want?
Oh, he wanted Portland wrestling to be the world and bring guys in and send them out to make the best they could be. I mean, he sent people to Japan that made millions and millions and millions. And guess what? Half of them didn't send him a thank you. But no, that's his life. He would have stayed at Portland with Don. And I think Tom Peterson wouldn't have went bankrupt. They'd still be there. Until they died. Maybe Dad and Barry would still be there. But not even wrestling. Just wrestling, but not him wrestling. And Portland was special to him. But that old glory national television is strong and powerful. And Larry, people want that dream.
Larry, this has been very special. And again, I thank you for your time. And let's do this again very soon. I really thank you for your honesty and all of your perspective.
All right, buddy. You have a good day.
I want to thank Larry Oliver for his time, and hopefully soon we'll be able to do an Ask Larry segment here on the Portland WrestleCast. Hopefully my voice will get better soon, and I'll bring you a new episode of the Portland WrestleCast. I'm Jim Valley, and as always, there's excitement in the air.
So long, everybody. From the Portland Sports Arena, this has been Portland Wrestling.